Howdy. Welcome to the In the Woods podcast with me, your host, Matthew Wright. I hope you're excited for episode one, where we sit back and talk about some hunting stories from down south, close to the border, with some tips, tricks, and just some awesome insight from one of my best buddies.
On today's podcast, I have special guests with me, Hayden Raska.
How's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Of course, of course. No, I'm glad you're here. We're just going to go over a couple things. He hunts a little different than me. He hunts down in the south region, kind of close to the border, so it's a special episode for me, because I'll get some insight and so will you guys. So it's pretty exciting. So Hayden, I'm going to start off with a couple of questions. I guess just kind of give some backstory as to where you hunt. I know you're south, but...
Yeah, so for the past 15 years, we've been hunting in South Texas. It's called Freer, Texas. It's about 45 minutes from Laredo and about 30 minutes from Alice. So we're pretty close to the border, and it's a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, no, that's definitely some great area to hunt. I've hunted kind of down there towards Uvalde and all that. I think the keen part about that area is there's so many different species to hunt.
Yeah, it's as soon as deer season ends, you got a lot of different other seasons, quail, dove, all stuff like that. It's just endless possibilities out there. Javelina are year round. There's a lot of game to be hunted in South Texas.
So I guess with that question being asked, what do you think your favorite is? What's your top?
Well, recently, on years that we have, hard rains or not optimal amount of rain, quail thrive. Yeah. And I've been loving chasing those blues and bob whites. That's probably my top favorite right now.
And those make some pretty good table fare too.
Man, talk about some quail gravy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember you made that for us over New Year's. Yeah. Yeah. So that's one thing about being out in the creation with the Lord is I feel like his provisions provide a lot of great meals.
And growing up, my grandpa always said, Lord put those animals on for a reason. You shoot it, you kill it, you eat it.
100%. No, I agree. I completely agree. I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's what this is all about. You know, being out in creation, I feel like that's really what makes it, is getting out there. And it's not just chasing the animals just to chase them, man. It's putting food on the table. And I think that means a lot more to us. But no, so so you're down in Freer and you like to chase quail, which I don't blame you at all. I enjoy quail hunting as well. But I know being close to the border, there's got to be some crazy stuff that goes on down there.
Yeah, I mean,
so you have any of those crazy experiences?
Yeah, I got plenty of them. Probably our 10th year hunting out there, and we had just got a new Chevy truck, and sure enough, somebody had broken through the front gate, hot-wired it, take it back to Laredo, where they literally, Border Patrol told us, and some federal agents contacted us saying that they found our truck was stolen and drove to Laredo, and they had busted out the back seats trying to make another run back to the U.S.
No way.
Haul whoever knows what. And so stuff like that happens. We've had Venezuelans, you name it, they've been there traveling over 70, 80 miles on foot just to get to the U.S., which is crazy.
That's insane. And so is that that's a regular occurrence?
I mean, you drive down there on 59 South is where we're at, and you'll see every high fence ranch has – they have ladders over their fence because it's that big of a problem. They don't want people to cut their fences. They'd rather them just climb over, because you can lose, $50,000 worth of animals or cattle or whatever it is.
You never know.
Cutting a fence like that. So they'd rather just hop over. And so it's year round for them. They don't miss a month or a day.
That's crazy. No, I've heard some stories from down when I was in Uvalde. They'll literally just leave waters and food out, canned food, stuff like that, just so they don't break into their houses and ransack their stuff.
That's what we have our main camp. We leave it unlocked, and so they can go get waters, Gatorades, whatever, when they want. And they usually don't. They don't vandalize it. They take what they need, a Coke or a water, and they move. They keep on going.
See. I guess that's definitely something that's a good tip for everybody to keep in mind. I feel like if you're down south and you run into that issue, I mean, you can't, I mean, they're going to find a way.
They're going to try to get in regardless. You want to replace doorknobs all year long, help yourself. But if there's a way you can lock up your valuables in another place, then a Connex is what we use. We just lock all of our guns, vehicles, and stuff that we really care about, and then leave our main camp just open for water. I mean, if they wanted to, they could take a nap on the couch for all we care.
That seems like that's what you got to do.
Yeah. But,
so moving on from that, what do you think? I'm sure you've had some memorable times down there. I've seen some pictures of you with some pretty big whitetail. You said you like hunting quail, chasing dove. Yep. You have one of the more memorable hunts from down there?
Yeah, I have a couple. I'll give you two probably. I have one that I love is just taking people that have never been there before and seeing that kind of terrain.
Definitely.
It's always, I get a kick out of that more than shooting big whitetail.
Oh, yeah.
I had my buddy Sean. He came down and we're sitting in the stand for maybe, you know, an hour. We didn't have any action, just a bunch of pigs and javelinas. And he said, man, what is that running across the road? Sure enough, it's like a 6.5-foot rattlesnake. We don't have a shotgun or nothing. He's like, man, I really want one. My dad said he'd get it mounted for me or skin it and hide it and whatever I wanted with it. And I was like, go for it. So he takes my 270 out the window, probably at 100 yards, and hits that snake.
No way.
15 minutes later, we're driving down the road because, you know, the hunt was kind of ruined from popping that shot.
Oh, yeah.
So we got out just driving around, and he shoots two bobcats within 15 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
And so he had basically the South Texas slam right there in his hands all on the first night.
Yeah, no kidding.
Probably one of my more recent ones is my grandpa. He's getting old, so he can't do a lot of stuff, can't climb up in the blinds anymore. Mm-hmm. So he's like, let's go sit and rattle. And so it's rut happens pretty late in South Texas, December, usually around Christmas times when you want to be out there rattling and looking for them big boys. And sure enough, we're sitting there rattling maybe 15, 20 minutes. Sure enough, there's probably six 150 class deer within 30 yards of us, just looking, hitting the rattle.
That is insane.
They just
To be with your grandpa, too.
Yeah, he was.
That's memories made right
and
there.
And we were excited. We were so happy. No, nobody shot one, but it was just something fun, cool, something that doesn't really happen a lot out there. You don't get that many big bucks in one sitting.
Oh, yeah, no.
Come looking for a fight.
That's crazy. No, that's awesome. And so going back to, you brought up rattlesnakes. I know that being down south, that's something that you've definitely got to be looking out for. Is there any, I guess you have any advice, because you're definitely an avid hunter down there. So is there any advice avoiding them?
Yeah.
Any sort of gear that you would wear whenever you're out and about to avoid getting bit by something like that?
100%. If you don't come down with rattlesnake boots, you're a fool, because they're everywhere. There's no avoiding them. They're going to be out, especially when it's hot and stuff like that, springtime.
Oh, yeah.
If you're running through the brush, wear chaps and all that. Another main thing is if you're going to go down and pick up something, you drop a bullet and you're out, make sure you're looking around. Look past 6 feet, because they'll come and they'll lunge and they'll try to latch onto you out of nowhere. I mean, you might not never even see them.
Yeah, and those
things,
they get big down there, too.
They're huge, and they can strike twice the length of their body. So you might not see them or think he's far away, but they're pretty dangerous. I would say what we used to say is kick it before you pick it. So if you,
hey, that's smart.
If you can get down there and have your rattlesnake boots on, kick around before you start reaching your hands into stuff like that, because for us, it's like a 40-minute ride to the hospital.
Jeez, yeah. I guess being out there in the middle of nowhere, you've got to think about those things.
I mean,
you better be ready to fight for your life if you get hit by one of those.
No kidding.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah, stuff like that. You can smell them, too. My grandpa always told me you can smell them. He used to always know when there was a rattlesnake around. Smells kind of musky, kind of like a skunk.
That's when you know to be looking out.
Be on alert if you smell something that doesn't smell right.
That's crazy. Yeah, well, that's good to know. It's definitely some good information, because, I mean, that's the thing is, where I'm primarily hunting, I don't have to deal with. I mean, we've got cottonmouths and copperheads, but we don't have any rattlers or anything that big that we have to worry about.
So, you got to worry about wading into that marsh and that timber, though.
Oh,
you got to keep your eyes open.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, when you get down in some of that thick flooded timber, man, you don't, those snakes, they'll ball up and they'll float on the top of the water. You better be ready to run if they if they get up on you. But, and just a couple more things, but it seems like you really do enjoy being down south, but what do you think you enjoy the most? I know we talked about some memorable hunts and your favorite game to chase, but what do you think you enjoy the most out of all that region down there? Would it be the terrain? Would it be the wildlife? What do you think?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I think you get a sense of peace out there. You can't see a road for a couple miles, you know, it's just, you're out there in God's creation, and
oh yeah,
you can just, there's so much abundance of wildlife. You, I mean, you're looking at Bob Whites, you're looking at the sandy terrain and stuff like that. You just got to take it all in and appreciate, you know, being out there. And it's good to kind of escape the city. That's what I love about it. Getting away and just 100%. Going out there and put my phone inside and forgetting about all my worries about the weekday, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah. I think that's what I like. I like the terrain a lot. I mean, it's just, you can sit there in a deer blind and just look for days down senderos and stuff like that.
Exactly. And I think that's what totally makes up the whole platform of this podcast is being out in creation away from civilization.
Yep.
I think when you are able to expand from being out of the city, being away from your college town or whatever, you totally get that connection, that bond with the Lord, mainly because you're out in all the things that he has created. And exactly. it gives you a much greater appreciation for what's going on around you.
Exactly. You can take a step back. You know, you're all caught up in all the real world stuff. And
100%.
You take a back. Yeah, you get to escape a little bit and realize, you know, don't take life too serious all the time. You know, you got all these great creations and stuff like that. Enjoy yourself.
100%. Yeah, and that's definitely, I think, that goes without saying for any region. But I think for me especially, I feel the exact same way. Being out and about in creation is what's super important. I mean, it really, you get to expand on your vision based upon not only what's actually in front of you, but also your mindset.
Exactly.
I feel like it just lets you open up. And like you said, you get to see the bigger picture of things.
Yep, I totally agree.
So I really do appreciate you having or being on the podcast with us.
Of course, thank you.
Man, it's been good. I want to close out because this is important that, you know, we talked about how being away from civilization out in creation brings you to the Lord. And so my closing thought, I wanted to close just with a verse. This is from Genesis chapter 27, verse 3. It's actually when that's Abraham's second son. He's talking to his son. He says, Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out in the field and hunt for me. I think that's something that's important, and it kind of goes without saying, but you got to think about all the things that we get to do are because, you know, our fathers did them, passed on generations, hit their fathers did that. And I think that's something that I would leave you guys with, the audience out there, you know, understand that even if you haven't had that passed down to you, think about all the future generations that you could impact with just going out, you know, being outside, taking a cane pole, going fishing, picking up a shotgun, learning how to shoot some dove, stuff like that, that you could pass down to your kids or your brothers and sisters, things that could leave a generation impact on a lot of people. And with that, I just want to close, but I think it's important that we, like we said, you kind of take a step back and realize that once you're out in creation, you really do get to see the bigger picture. But Hayden, it was great having you on, and I really appreciate it. Some of the tips and tricks, I know they're helpful for me, and I'm sure they're helpful for a lot of people out there on the podcast.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Man, well, I appreciate all you guys tuning in and listening. Look forward to episode 2 with Seth King about some of the how we use the provisions that we get when we're out there in the field. And thank you for listening to the In the Woods podcast.